Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back again for another month the lovely Annette Bunn.
You almost sounded convinced.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's
for
back.
Another
she's,
month.
She's turned up again.
Good sake.
Yeah. And it is a pleasure. It is always a pleasure to welcome Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting, who are great supporters of the Business Bunker Show, and we really do appreciate Rift and all the support and help they've given us. And they always bring us the most lovely of guests to talk to.
Always.
So, Nettie, absolutely, you never do. That is absolutely true. And
just, pressure, Catherine.
Yeah. And if you go to bizradio.co.uk website and click on the Rift button, you can hear all the interviews of all the guests that Rift have bought us over the years,
and they're all there.
And there's a lot of them. They're all fairly short interviews, you know, 15, 20 minutes, so they're all really interesting, a whole range of diverse people.
Apart from today, we're doing 3 hours for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, how have you been, Nettie?
I've been good. I was just going to say, actually, last week, Tuesday evening, I went to a blast.
Did you?
I did.
At Oakwood Park.
Oh, my life. How that has developed over the last few years has been amazing. I hadn't been for probably about 3 or 4 years.
It was huge this year, wasn't it?
It was really good looking at all these entrepreneurs thinking up their new things that they're doing. And really interested with these small businesses. One guy who seems to be doing really, really well, and I've since followed him on Twitter, is literally doing mobile bike repairs for proper bike racers.
So these people
who their bikes are serviced regularly, they want all the stuff done, and very often they've got busy lives. This is the equivalent of their gym quite often, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he was doing that. There was people... AM Marketing Stand, obviously I tagged you in. We were both on their stand.
We were.
What's that about?
I know, pictures of us.
You pay money to print a new stand, and you put me and you on it.
I know.
Seriously, they've got no friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, just the... It was so interesting, right down to this really great artist who's really good at drawing things like foxes, horses... Mm. She's built a whole range of, like, cushion covers, chairs, all stuff like this, which is now going into... I can't remember what store she said, so I won't make it up, but, you know...
I've got to make it up.
Oh, John Lewis and Harris.
Yeah, of course
no,
it is.
It's not.
I've seen them in there.
But, you know, clearly something she's really good at, something she's very clever at design with, and, you know, building this stuff up. And these are all good Kent businesses that I would imagine loads of them, another 4 or 5 years, could be household names. Really good to see.
Yeah.
And the guys that are now running it, Stuart Tanton and Liam Benn, is it?
Yeah.
They've got a different ethos to it.
Yeah,
and it's just so good to see.
Yeah. It's grown and grown and grown. I first went 4 or 5 years ago. I couldn't go this year. I was at a different event. But I first went 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a good event then, but it was quite small. But it's just got huge, isn't it?
I would seriously recommend people take it seriously, because it's good. They've got good funding. Yeah. You know, the Kent Foundation does a great job with what limited they've got. But, you know, to showcase all those businesses
and
to be part of all of them was really good.
Yeah. And some of the alumni from Kent Foundation, people like Amy and companies like that, have gone on to be award-winning companies.
Oh, so there's a number of them there.
And there's lots of them.
Yeah, so there really is. So it's really, it's credit to them, really. And I don't think they blow their trumpet enough about it, if I'm really honest.
Yeah,
apart from that, I've just been at the desk working, had the weekend off, nice and sunny.
You had the weekend off?
Yeah, I did.
What's all that about?
I know.
You'll have to do that. You're my accountant, so I don't expect you to have the weekend off. I expect
you to be slaving
over my VAT returns or something.
I checked every hour on the hour for your email, but it wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
No,
okay,
so
that's
I didn't
right,
have to do it.
That's okay then. I'll let you off then. Yeah, so who have you bought us this week, Nettie?
Catherine.
Have you?
Now, I think Catherine and I must have met probably about 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. How am I doing? Memory-wise, about 2 years ago when she got
in John Lewis.
No, in my office.
Oh right. Okay.
Because I can't actually remember how we were introduced, or whether or not you found us, or what happened, but you got given an amazing opportunity that you were really scared of.
I thought to meet you then.
Yeah, that was pretty
that's scary. That is scary. Caroline, that is the most scary thing you could do.
Catherine, please give it a word.
What did I say?
You called her Caroline.
I'm so sorry.
Could be Caroline
Catherine.
Today.
Catherine.
Can't you be Caroline today?
It's that, you know. No, John,
Catherine,
she can't.
Sorry.
So, and so we sort of went from there, really, and this was all new. So I'll let her tell you her story. But, you know, this was an opportunity that I think you did the best you could with.
Yeah. Well, so, I did meet you 2 years ago. It's flown by. But I used to... I've been in media sales for gosh, started in 2003.
Right.
So quite a while, working my way up, started at Haymarket Publishing. So started as a sales executive on Classic FM magazine, but worked my way up, worked on some titles you probably know, What Car, Auto Car, Piston Heads, and then...
What did she just call me?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Piston Head. Yeah. I love it.
I'll edit that out.
Beat that.
This moment on.
There's no need to be like that, is there?
But as I worked my way up, then went off to have my son, who's now five, went off to paternity leave, came back, and obviously situations changed. So decided to move to Kent near family, and went to work for Kelsey Publishing. So Kelsey owned probably about 60 magazines now, of which I was heading up the Classic Car portfolio.
Okay.
Did that for 2 years. And then given a great opportunity, like you said, of Kelsey like outsourcing. So they obviously put their sales operation out to tender for the Classic Car titles, of which obviously I threw my hat into the ring and won the tender. Then it was left the daunting task of myself, my own
doing
company.
It.
Yes.
Oops. Great idea up to that moment.
So there's some great things that I've heard you talk about today already. First off, you've got to name your company. How do you come up with a brand that hasn't been done? How do you know what to call yourself that represents what you do?
That's a very important point as well, and it's harder now than it's ever been, because not only have you got to come up with a name, but you have to find something that you can get all the URLs for, the Twitter handles, the Facebook pages, without infringing somebody else's copyright.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's scary, knowing how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But originally I heard you playing Fleetwood Mac as your intro now, so we did originally call ourselves Tusk Media, as we like Fleetwood Mac, but decided actually Tandem Media. The point of it, we are a third-party outsourced media sales consultancy. So what we want to do is work alongside publishers, sort of trade associations, member associations, event organisers to help them, tailor a bespoke package to them to get the most out of their commercial assets and their collateral. So effectively, Tandem Media is, we're on the ride with you, so we're helping you to.
I see what she did there. I see what she did there. Yeah, okay.
Once she won that contract and knew she had to set a business up, she really started working on
it. Yeah,
absolutely. But then it was, how on earth do you go about setting up your own business? Where do you start? I've always had a support network around me and known what to do. And also, it was in a new area. I hadn't lived in Kent. I moved from Twickenham to Ashford.
Right.
So I did do the Chamber of Commerce, did a seminar on starting up, who in turn, it's the networking effect. Obviously, they had an RBS representative who then passed me on to Annette. And I could say the most... You've helped me enormously of... you recommended where we are currently based, so Evegate. Just even finding an office is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. Looking in Ashford Town Centre is hugely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Want you to sign up for 3 years to a space.
And there isn't any.
And there isn't any, yeah. And there's no parking. And there's so where do you even begin? Mm-hmm. So Evegate's been... big them up enough. They've been brilliant for new startup companies. If they will expand with you or increase, hopefully not the case, but decrease with you, but be flexible in how you're doing it. So we've actually started off in a little room, three people. We've now got six people. We start off with six magazine brands, a Classic Car portfolio with one client. We're now up to 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 brands that we're working with, with five different clients. So,
are they all magazines?
Magazines and events. So, and we started off in the consumer. So, year one was get it right for, learn how to run a business, get it right for Kelsey Publishing, and deliver what we are meant to deliver for them, which is revenue.
Right.
I've now up to 13 magazine brands with them. An umbrella portfolio for all those magazine brands and an event. So I'll plug the event.
Absolutely.
Peter James, Bromley Pageant of Motoring. So which is a great event happening on 17th of June, Father's Day. So great opportunity to bring your dad along. And then we are working with another publishing company with two more magazines. We have just signed a contract for two other magazines, which I don't know if it fits in. You've all mentioned motorbikes today, so we're doing American V and Spirit 1901, which are the Indian motorbikes.
I believe you.
Yeah.
it's interesting, isn't it? Listening to you talk about this is fascinating, because people will tell you quite sincerely that print is dead. A few years ago, I owned a software company that sold software into the media industry, primarily for newspapers and magazines. And, of course, the newspaper industry is dead, yeah? But the magazine industry certainly is not.
Yeah.
And still, one of the biggest selling magazines is Carp World, would you believe?
Yeah.
You know, specialty magazines are still big business. They're not suffering the same as newspapers and general run-of-the-mill print.
Yeah, the type of it has changed. So, yeah. Like you said, the newspapers are—it's news you can get at touch of your fingers now the internet and everything. Yeah. But people want to sit down and relax and read about their hobbies. Classic cars being one, that's their switch off time, and they want something printed. But then they need the website to back that up as well. There's news happening, so you need to get the balance right.
Absolutely.
And then events creep into it as well. Now there are so many classic car events. Kelsey ran their Jap Fest at the weekend, but they've got loads of events going up. So it's
funny that juxtaposition of that. As it happens, my youngest son Stu is business development manager for a magazine. He works for a company called Last Word, and he runs a magazine called Expert Investor, which is aimed at hedge funds. And they run a magazine and an event alongside it.
Yep.
Yeah, and so that seems to be a business model that a lot of people are kind of following now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All the B2B titles. Yeah. So we work with The Negotiator and Horticultural Trade Association. They have events, awards, conferences.
Exactly.
It's got to... Mm. And people are... We're obviously looking at it from the commercial side of things, but people have the same marketing budget but need to reach the whole audience, some of which go to events, some of which use online, some of which still read magazines.
But the interesting thing about what you do from a sales and marketing point of view is it's highly targeted demographic marketing, isn't it? Because who you're talking to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's changed. You know, if you look at newspapers, just run-of-the-mill newspapers, radio stations, TV even to some extent, was always just mass market, where you threw a load of stuff at it and hope that a percentage of it stuck.
Yeah.
That's been taken over by the internet, because you can do that on the internet vastly cheaper. But what I call demographic marketing, I don't know what the proper term for it is, it still is incredibly valuable and incredibly highly targeted, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, even down to our flagship title, Classic Van and Pickup, or Triumph World, you know, you are targeting Triumph. Yeah. Enthusiasts or drivers of, and they all own or want to own a Triumph.
It's funny you should say that.
You've got one.
No, I haven't. I used to have, but many years ago. But funny enough, on Sunday, we went to the local park, and there was a chap there that had a Triumph Tiger 100, which I hadn't seen forever, a 1960s Tiger 100. And I said, oh, that's a Triumph Tiger. And he went, yeah. And then an hour later, he's still telling me about it, you know, which is great, you know. But you're absolutely right.
That's that industry as well.
Yeah,
they love talking about it. They love it.
Yeah.
They're passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it is very targeted. So no matter what the circulation is as well, it's you're reaching the audience you need to reach.
That people want to get to.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay.
And that Bromley event's really good.
Yeah,
I've got a classic car myself, although Morris is in the garage still needing his radiator put back in.
Oh, dear.
So what
have you got, Nick?
I've got a Morris Mini.
Have you?
1960, yeah.
Really?
So do you read Mini World?
No, do you know, I read so much on Minis and loved them so much that actually I didn't have, you know, anything else to do, so I get rid of anything that sort of takes up my time and sort of does things now. But I mean, I love my Mini car.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been going now, Catherine?
So, just over 18 months. Launched on 31st of October 2016, which is also my birthday and Halloween. So it was a good birthday.
Cool. So it's still very much in the early stage, although it sounds like you're growing quite quickly.
Yep.
Which is, it's always difficult to manage growth effectively as well. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, the opposite is worse, but sometimes managing growth is a really difficult task. It sounds like you're going really well, though. I mean, do you have big plans for the future? Where are you heading towards?
Yeah, so, well, you've hit the nail on the head, that it is, growth is brilliant, but you find yourself, don't want to have too much work.
It can be scary.
You don't have, what we don't want to do is not, you know, provide a good job for our clients.
Exactly, you can overreach yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know, I don't want to scare you, but... most businesses that go bust not because they don't have a full order book, but because they can't manage anymore.
Yeah.
You know, their cash flow goes out the window because they've got too much work, they've taken on too much, they're in too many different areas, and they can't manage what they're doing.
Yeah. I think we learnt a lesson quite early on with taking on, as a new business, you want to take on everything, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And you think you have to. And we probably, you know, we took on a few things which probably was a lot of work for not... you know, enough revenue to actually support that with the staff that we'd need. So we learned quite a few lessons early on, and now we're quite selective. And I'll be honest with the clients if I feel, actually, we can't deliver the best for you at this moment of time.
You know, again, that is a classic example of people, all of us, when we start a business, you'll just do anything.
Yeah.
If somebody asks you, you'll do it because, you know, you're just desperate for the work. But it's not always conducive. Yeah, it's not always the right thing. And at some point as a business, you have to get to the point where you start to sack customers. Because you have to, because some of them just are not worth your time.
We did. I mean, we went through quite a big review. My husband actually came to join the company, so a big shift at the beginning of this year. He's in media sales and has comes more from a B2B background. So can bring a whole wealth. The great thing is I've got support there of people you can bounce ideas around and make it work, and you know, push each other and be there if you need to be out at a meeting. There's someone there to look after the job. But
absolutely, it's about flexibility, isn't it?
Yeah, but we need to make, obviously, it's going from a good full-time salary to two of us relying on this. It's quite a daunting task, which is where, you know, Rift advice of we didn't want to do that too early.
Yeah.
But we know then we can grow it. So going back to your question of where we're going, we've got, In the world of publishing, there's a whole host of, you want to provide the whole service, which, you know, hopefully, let's just get everything going smoothly. And then there's the production side of things, the credit control, you know, or if you can offer all of that to a client, we want to be agile in our offering, and people, when they're outsourcing, want you to take on that role and that.
Absolutely,
So I suppose that's our next sort of planning session. But I think at the moment we've grown so much in 18 months that we're just getting on top of stuff, and it's running smoothly and well, and it's a lot of plates spinning, but it's great. Couldn't recommend it enough. But
you've also brought some staff with you, didn't you?
Which was
interesting.
So I learned what Toopy transfer was.
All right, okay.
We started on a great note. We're Toopy in.
Are you going to dive into all of it then?
But that was learning curve. But Kelsey. It was in Kelsey's interest that this worked for them as well. So,
of course,
Kelsey, the support which came with that, you know, and the cheapy transfer and everything like that as well. But you do need a startup cost, and you do need a good sales plan, and know that this can work and sit and do your figures. Started with one member of staff came with me. The rest, because I was transferring from Cuddam, which is near Orpington, to Ashford. So therefore, that's a big commute for a lot of people. Then we started off, one person came in pretty quickly, so the three of us, another person by the December, and then, recently we've gone up to six.
Wow, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, onwards and upwards, it's good fun running a business, isn't it? Because it's, every day's a learning day.
Yeah. Well, you see, even things like... I didn't know how do you send out a magazine in the post? You know, is it six stamps or a... I've always relied on the
Well, you ain't got to weigh it.
Now I've got a franking machine, but little things like that. I'm rubbish at
IT. But you're so right, and there's so much, like we say, there's so much generic support for startups. But there's not that bit that sits down with an individual enough and says, you need this, this, no. and this. Or tell me what you want, and then let's look at it reasonably and decide what's affordable and what matters and what's important.
It's funny, because it kind of goes back to what Nicola and Alan were saying earlier about young people. You know, unless you know, you don't know what you don't know, basically. Yeah. And when you launch yourself into something, it's experimental, isn't it? You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's somebody out there that does know, but you need to find them and ask them, kind of thing, or learn as you go along.
Yeah. And it's quite weird. You go into the you become expert in what you're doing, and you know you're good at what you're doing. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be launching it. But in exactly. I don't know how to run the company. And it has been, I've run big sales teams, I know how to manage people, but then you've always had a HR department, you've always had an IT, you've always had all those support networks, which, you know, you were great in Evegate, but you recommended IT support and things like that, new to the area
and,
as well.
And there's all kinds of things in running your own business that you would never, ever, no matter what you did, experience in a bigger corporate. You know, do you register for VAT now? Yeah. You know, do you do flat rate VAT? You know, what about business rates? You know, all the kind of things that just never touch a big corporate, even, you know, anybody that works in it, because it's all a million miles away. All of those kind of things have to be learned and dealt with and answered. And, of course, most of them don't help in any way, shape or form with anything you're trying to do.
And it's also that bit about the right advice, because the man in the pub knows an awful lot.
Absolutely.
There's a reason he's sitting in the pub.
Exactly.
That's what you've got to remember.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, too many people, what is it? You can't put a price on bad advice. And
exactly.
It's as simple as that.
Exactly.
It might look good, or it might feel cheaper, or it might not be right. And I'm certainly not saying Catherine went that route, but too many people do. They listen to the wrong advice.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
And that's where it goes wrong as well.
Yeah. Mm. And even if they listen to other business people, what suited you as a business isn't necessarily right for someone else.
Exactly.
And, you know, you see that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't name names, but Nettie Riff were doing something for me recently with a business that I've just acquired, only to find that they've registered the business completely wrongly and they can't actually do what they say they're going to do, because the business isn't registered to
do it.
You just can't do that. Sorry, you just can't do it.
They red-taped themselves up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. It's the first one of that sort I've actually seen. I've seen some interesting ones, but that was a good one.
Yeah, it was. And it's, at the moment, we can't find a way out of it for them. Because, anyway, we'll get there eventually. But they painted themselves into a corner because they took some bad advice from someone.
Yeah.
And it was just totally the wrong thing. And it was a really simple thing, really tinily simple, but it wasn't what they should have done. And there you go. They painted themselves into a corner. But anyway, you haven't done that because you have taken good advice. You're kind of six people now after 18 months, which is that's pretty fast growth, really, to be honest. And how many titles are you working on?
I was counting them up. There's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, about 19.
Wow.
About 19 brands that we're working across. Those include events as well and awards, conferences and things like that.
I've got to ask a really bit of a sexist question here.
Yeah,
so how many boys have you got? Bearing in mind you're dealing with motorbikes and classic cars and petrol heads. Obviously yourself excluded.
There are three boys and three girls, actually. But most of the girls actually work on the motoring side. There's only one boy which works on the motoring side. So, I think the men do quite like a lady's voice, and they do well at selling.
I'm not surprised. Cause and I don't mean it in any way like that, but it is that bit that's quite interesting in that people assume that classic cars and classic bikes belong to men. And I've got a number of friends who are girls that also own them, and you're obviously own one yourself, Nick, so you're sitting right here. So it does happen a lot, but I think there is that bit that, well, what would a girl know?
Yeah, there's still... but it is great how the salespeople... I mean, we really have to get under the skin and get to know our brands and our products. I'm not going to say we're experts, we're never, not the editorial team, but the girls do know a hell of a lot. So,
good, aren't they? That'd be a fun game, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Funny enough,
don't ask me a question.
How many pistons?
How many tappets on a... on a 1923... No, I've just had a message, actually, from Sue Tappenden, who says, Catherine is great. Do you see what she did there? Catherine's great. I love it when women and men, of course, do their thing so successfully whilst they have a lot of other stuff going on in their lives. So important to get objective support with all of that beyond the business advice, especially if you work with your husband. That's from Sue Tappenden. Yeah.
Advice on that, I believe. Everyone's given me advice on that.
Yeah, but don't listen to any of it.
Make sure you've got your own hobbies, that's it.
Yeah, very true, very true.
On that note, Catherine, thank you so much for that.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued success with your new startup company.
Yeah.
And your, was it 19 titles you were working across?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. Very impressive. And
thank
you. All power to you and to your team. Nessie, thank you for introducing us to
You're
Catherine.
You're very welcome. I'm sure she'll follow on from now on.
Yes. Absolutely.
First time on radio.
Yeah.
if people want to find out more about what you do, what's the best way to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, best way is on the website, so tandemmedia.co.uk. I do have a Facebook and a Twitter account, but yet to be fully populated, so we're
it will
there.
Be now. It will be now. Trust me,
we'll
it will be now.
We'll work on it.
You'll log on and go, whoop, whoop. I think I'll come back to that later.
Yeah. Or do contact, all my contact details are on the website, or my email address is catherine.rowe@tandemmedia.co.uk. But
fantastic.
Tandem like the bike.
Babe. Fantastic. The website is on the Kent Business Radio website, and we'll stay there forever because it will be on this show, 376, so you can always find it there. For a moment, Catherine, thank you so much. Nettie, thank you so much
You're
for introducing
welcome.
Catherine and talking to us about a fabulous new business here in Ashford, based at Evegate Park.
Yes, yeah, thank you for having me.
Evegate were a publishing company as well, were they not, at one stage?
Were they?
I think they were. I'm fairly sure they were. I'm pretty sure they started off as a publishing company at one point.
I'll investigate.
Yeah, have an investigate. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they did. Or maybe I'm just getting confused with a publishing company that was based there, but, you know.
I think you might be right.
Or... Yeah, I'm fairly sure they were. Okay. Cool.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.